Welcome to Heidelberg Meditations, this Saturday of the 8th week in the year of our Lord 2022, as we finish our examination of question 25 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Over the week we have noted that the God of the Bible is both one and three. The one true God in three persons we refer to as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have noted that these three persons are fully God and co-eternal. That is, they, as God, have no beginning and no end. This morning we look to a second necessary doctrine concerning the Trinity, that they are also co-equal. Question 25 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Since there is but one divine being, why do you speak of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? We confess because God has so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one true eternal God. While the three persons are separate, they are all the one true God, and they are equal in power and authority. To summarize Athanasius of Alexandria, the Father is not the Son, is not the Holy Spirit. Each member of the Godhead has a role to play, as we confess in the Apostles' Creed and will study over the next few weeks. But in terms of their godness, they are equal in every way. This is important to understand as it guards us against errors that worm their way into the church and often serve to split local congregations and sometimes denominations. One of the more common false teachings that continues to arise concerning the co-equality of the Godhead, particularly in Reformed circles, is the idea that the Son, Jesus, is eternally subordinate to the Father. For short, this eternal subordination of the Son is referred to by many as ESS. The basic teaching is built around evidence in the Gospels that Jesus willingly subordinated himself to the will of the Father during his time on earth. As Jesus said in John 6, verse 38, I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. We also remember his famous prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed, Not my will, but thine be done. In his flesh, we recognize that Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience to the Father, as we discussed in Heidelberg Catechism Question and Answer 21, where we found Christ meriting our salvation partly by his law-keeping. Thus, in a sense, the Son was subordinate to the Father for our sake, as he kept the law in our place. But later, as we find in John 10, verse 30, Jesus made the explicit point that I and the Father are one. And then in Revelation 5, verse 13, the same John records the scene in heaven. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. This indicates that both the Father and the Son are co-equal in blessing, honor, glory, and might. They are worshipped together forever. There is no submission of one to the other in this vision of heaven. That the subordination of Jesus to his Father, as evidenced in the Gospels when Jesus walked the earth, is somehow projected back into the Trinitarian relationship as a whole, in order to define the eternal relationship between the Godhead, is fallacious at best. For to build a doctrine of God in this manner confuses ontology, that is, being, with economy, that is, management. Who God is in his being defines how he manages the plan of redemption, and not the other way around. In his will, God chose to send Jesus as the Son who, while on earth, did subordinate himself to the Father. But having understood the unity of the one true God in purpose, power, and glory, and the co-eternality of the Godhead, it is difficult to see how the Son would suddenly become subordinate to the Father in being. This strikes not only at the doctrine of immutability, that God never changes, but also at the orthodox understanding of the Trinity as a whole. For at the end of the day, we confess that the Father does not have more authority than the Son or the Spirit, nor does the Son or the Spirit have more authority than one another or the Father. As with the co-eternal nature of God, this understanding of co-equality is of great comfort to the saints. For our God is not divided, he is not at odds with himself, nor are his purposes different or divergent. He is the one true God. He is equal in might, knowledge, purpose, and love. And he, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, together has given us the greatest gift of all, salvation from sin and life eternal. All of the Godhead is working to that end, that we who have trusted him by faith might know without a doubt we have been saved to the uttermost. As the recipients of his mercy and grace, let us look to our one true God with praise and adoration, he who is co-eternal, he who is co-equal, for he alone is worthy of all glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.